Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the Match Ball Podcast for the Hull City game with Levi Solicitors. 10% off your legal fees when you mention the Square Ball when you inquire. It's levisolicitors.co.uk/the Square Ball. I'm Dan Moylan. With me is Michael Normanton.
Hello.
And Moscow White, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
4-0.
Yes.
How do you like them apples?
Lovely.
That's how to fit the outer game, isn't it? Not hanging on, just keep scoring more goals.
Just keep chipping it at Tyler Roberts and let him do his... Who was that scum player who scored that header?
Van Persie?
Yes, it was like a Van Persie header, wasn't it?
Nice cultural reference there for you. And nice, you know, everyone's going to really love that, I think. Really tap into that. Hero, Van Persie.
It was better.
Not Alan Clark, Van Persie.
Well, I mean, I've not seen Alan Clark, bottom corner.
Not Lee Chapman, Van Persie.
It was like that goal. But better, because Tyler Roberts scored it and he's my new favourite player.
I'm pleased for you. I mean, we should probably get the...
Actually, he's my old favourite player. I've always said he was good.
We should probably get the Kassir thing said at the start, because it's obviously had a cloud over the entire run-up to this game, well, for the last 12 hours anyway. We'll deal with it properly on Tuesday, where we've got the time and space to do it. This is about the match predominantly. And we'll probably, or maybe, have an indication as to exactly what's been said.
Yes, there might be the actual report, which will help.
But Spider Boy stepped in, and what do you think of Spider Boy's performance today?
Awful. Can't pass that little bastard, can he?
It was a bit wobbly early doors.
What happened to the Arsenal one?
It was a bit wobbly. I think it felt almost like he's just a tiny bit nervous, a little bit ring rusty, and then he grew into that game.
Has he always been left-footed?
Yes.
I'm sure he was using the wrong foot today.
I think Keith Andrews, of all people, was making this point on Sky as I was leaving the house, saying that Leeds kept pinging him at his wrong foot, and that we need to get used to the fact that, you know, we now have a goalkeeper who uses different feet and has longer limbs and can catch crosses. He wasn't rubbish today.
No,
I was saying that for absolute jokes. There were those first few passes where it's just the fullbacks are shorter than you remember, Meslier. You're a very tall man, but don't put the ball over their heads. Keep it in play. But his big height was very useful when Hull did that one corner that time. And then, was it Helder Costa who then just booted it straight up in the air, which I thought was unhelpful. But then Meslier just stood up, reached his Inspector Gadget arms, catch the ball, no problems whatsoever. Everything was good. Even that one where they hit the post, he was going to save that. So it was all fine.
In truth, he didn't do the distribution stuff as well as Kassir today, but he did all the goalkeeping stuff well. And when you do the distribution stuff badly, they get a throw in. When you do the goalkeeping stuff badly, they get a goal.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's better to do the catching and the throwing and stuff.
There was no point today at which I was worried with Meslier. He thought, oh, he's a little bit shaky, but even then, with stuff like the corners and the crosses and the free kicks, I just thought, he's got this, it's fine.
Yeah, and his distribution wasn't that bad. It was just, I think we imagined we were going to have Johnny Charles in goal again after the Arsenal game, and it was just a little step below that. But he's got at least 7 more games to get into the swing of all that.
And the good thing is, the goalkeeping situation is, it's a footnote to what happened today.
4 lovely, lovely goals, particularly the first one.
With the funky chicken.
I would have been happy with a 1-0 win and that goal, because it would have... I wonder what would have upset Hull City fans more. Us winning 1-0 off that goal and a chicken dance, or the 4-0 mauling that they ended up with.
Oh, definitely the 4-0. They really, really dislike us, don't they?
I really like upsetting Hull City. It's a really favourite pastime of mine, that.
The first half as well, I bet they were thinking, we're still in this. Leeds aren't all that. And then the second half, we were just like, actually, we were just dicking around first half. Sorry about that.
It did seem... I wonder if we confused ourselves by scoring so early, because we don't, as a general rule. Two things we don't do. shoot from outside the penalty area.
Did that lots today.
And then score from outside the penalty area and do both of those things inside the first, what was it? Was it the, what minute did we score?
Five
minutes, even earlier than I remembered. Yeah, we don't do that. Is that the earliest goal we've scored this season?
Fairly early, I thought, without obviously any statistics to
or
check.
Or knowledge. Yeah. No. Yeah. It feels like, yeah, I can't remember us scoring an earlier one. So that's great. But then I did wonder if we were a bit confused, because it's like, if we'd score that in the second half, right, we hold this game out for the next 25 minutes and we win. Whereas 85 minutes of holding the game out, that's what do we do?
We did change shape, didn't we, in that first half, quite prominently. I mean, the Sky commentators, if you watched it on Sky, would have alerted you to this fact many times. That we did, we adjusted.
And they weren't apologising for our language.
When we adjusted the shape and went three at the back, because it wasn't quite working early doors.
Well, Hull playing three up front and moving them about, and just, I think, yeah, there were problems that it would be difficult to define without being inside Marcelo Bielsa's head. But as ever, there were solutions inside Marcelo Bielsa's head. And just, Stuart Dallas, you go and do some more stuff. Jackie, you do both your job and Stuart Dallas's job. Calvin Phillips, try not to look so worried all the time. There was the moment, there was a close-up of him, and he did seem to be kind of wincing a little bit, as if that dead calf hadn't quite come back fully to life. But yeah, just, I mean, we're in the stage now compared to the Nottingham Forest match where even if we're not that good, we're absolutely fine. Certainly better than shit like Hull.
They were terrible, weren't they? Yeah.
That first half was weird because it wasn't just the shape, it was individual things. Like, I mean, Pablo had a weird game all around because I didn't think he played very well in large parts of it, but then he kind of scored and set one up.
He had something to do with all four goals.
That's what I mean. He's crucial to everything we do, even when he's playing badly. But
I absolutely loved, while it's on my mind, his tackle on whoever it was running
sliding
through
from about 60 yards away.
Well, it wasn't even, it's like kind of lay down in front of him. I was like, if you run another 20 yards in my direction, and he just kicked the ball off him, like, are you all right? Like a speed bump.
I enjoyed that. It was a bit like a computer game where you can do the slide and you can just do it from miles away. But the first, I thought Phillips wasn't, normally he always feels like he's stood in the right place, and he never was. Dallas was off it. Costa wasn't himself. Bamford was himself, which was to our detriment. Harrison had a couple of good moments, but his final ball wasn't quite there either. Then in the second half, it just completely turned and
it suddenly clicked, didn't it?
Everyone was really good.
And speaking of click, a bad pun, but he was great today and deservedly got man of the match. He's been so good for so long, you sometimes forget.
Yeah, I think, again, we referred to it. Did we refer to it the other day? My gushing praise that has inspired him this week when I wrote that thing in the Evening Post. But
I believe in the Sky post-match, he untucked the article from the YEP in his, from his sock and pointed at this.
Using it as a shin pad, wasn't it?
A new tattoo of his.
To protect him. And he's only there because he couldn't keep it fixed over his heart. But part of my reason for wanting to write that was, you know, he's played these 80,000 games on the row. And you don't often come out of a game. Well, you never come out of a game saying, well, Click was rubbish. But you rarely come out of a game saying, oh, Click was great. And you don't talk about, you might say, well, Harrison's final ball wasn't all there and whatever. But Click kind of just does his work. So it's good that he, and he was kind of a little bit like that again today. He did get the assist, didn't he, for Tyler's first goal when he put it back across.
That was a lovely move, that lovely.
But then the other stuff is all kind of the work earlier on, like the start of, was it that goal or the last? No, it was that goal. I'm sure it was him, and I need to see the replay, but I'm sure it was him who worked with Jackie Harrison to get it out of the corner in the first place and kind of flicked it over. I was thinking he's going to put his foot on it here because we're in a tight situation, maybe pass back to Meslier, kill this off. Instead, outside the boot, flick over their defender into Harrison's path to turn us onto the attack. Yeah. Wonderful stuff.
Well, Bielsa talks about taking risks, doesn't he? And that was the perfect example of it, whereas we've probably been playing within ourselves recently, but then you see stuff like that. Talking about Pablo, though, he did hit the post/bar, didn't he, in the first half as well? You forget that. So even though he was slightly off colour, he still managed to, it could have been 2-0, quite frankly, going into half-time, get to the other side of half-time, and it was 2-0, and that was nice.
And you can add Harrison smacking off the post as well from basically the same place. So that's 2-0. That's 3-0 it should have been before we even scored the third.
I felt bad for Jackie today. I do feel he deserved a goal. Did some very nice stuff.
And there was that one where he broke down the left as well and you were willing him to bang it in and maybe a little bit earlier, but he carried it on to draw the defender across, you know, when it was like 3-on-2 or whatever.
He is sometimes underrated as a tricky dribbler. Because some of the stuff he does to get into positions, just even there was one for a cross in the first half where he does so well just to make the space for the cross. I think because the cross isn't perfect, it's like, oh, well, he's fucking rubbish. But some of his close control, and that one where he dribbled in off the wing, went round from a short corner it was, and he dribbled in and had a shot. The shot. Brilliant.
Mm. Lovely, just lovely all round. Nice to see Pablo get that second. And you think then, don't you, coming out of half time, game plan's out the window then for Hull, falling two behind so early on in that second half. Game was over.
It did feel that way, particularly when you looked at, for all that we weren't very good in the first half, you looked at what Hull had on the pitch and you thought, there's no goals in this. And I actually looked up they were kind of playing with the front three, weren't they, with Wilkes, Honeyman and Samuelson. There's four goals between them this season. I mean,
how old did you think Samuelson was?
I don't know, 48, something like that?
No, he was the one who looked about 9.
Oh, was he that the really young one?
Yeah, the bowl cut boy.
Oh, I was thinking of Stuart, sorry. Yes, he was a child, wasn't he? He was a bit Jack Clarkey.
Actually, he's a full 22 years of age, according to Wikipedia, which I was very surprised by. The Willem Corsten never going to age.
I was deeply confused by the appearance of a Diabate, once a trainee at Leeds, on the pitch for Hull. That was not upsetting.
And apparently, he still hasn't got over it, the way they were talking about it. And then
crying for weeks. He can be crying for weeks now, can't he?
And I did enjoy Pennington's contribution to Tyler's second goal. I didn't notice it at first. We're like, oh, why hasn't that defender managed to head that cross clear? Oh, of course.
Why are Everton still got him? Why are they loaning him out? Why bother? Just get rid of him. It's like something that needs
what
to
you
just,
say, get
just
rid
need,
of him.
You just need to put him out with the bins. You don't want him anymore, so stop keeping him. It's like a toy that is no longer being played with and never will be again, Everton. Just leave him. What are you going to do with him when you get him back?
He needs that transfer to Tranmere, doesn't he? That's where he's going.
Is that the route?
I think either there or Crewe. Just that kind of. There's a few Merseyside choices. I would not be surprised though if it was Stoke, because he'll live in Cheshire and he'll go down that well-worn kind of, just a different direction down the motorway.
But goal number 3. I thought that was a great move. What a lovely, lovely move that was. Just everything about it was just pure. Whoa.
And Tyler Roberts showing how to score. Bamford. I'm just going to say about Bamford, he would not have shoved Stuart Dallas out of the way to stick that in the net the way that Tyler Roberts didn't quite, but he could have left it. He could have said, okay, Stuart, after you. And Patrick, being a nice, polite, well-brought-up boy, probably would have done the same. But no, get Tyler Roberts in there with his, Princess Leia haircut. Bang. That's how it works.
This did feel like Tyler Roberts taking his chance. He's like, right, Bamford's horrendously out of form. Big Kev's injured. This is my chance to play up front, because he doesn't come on up front, does he?
Nope.
Typically. And I was really, really pleased when he did, I have to say. I was like, yes, yes, a change.
It's just something different, isn't it? It's nothing against Bamford. It's like we can see an out-of-form player there who desperately needs a goal. He might score a couple in a game, but then he'll go on this long run without a few more, won't he? We know what he does.
Bamford would have never, ever scored these two goals.
No.
I don't think for a second he would have scored them. Even if, leaving aside the what runs he would have made and whether or not he would have been in those positions, you leave him in those exact same spots. Like you say, he leaves that for Dallas and they both kind of miss it. And the header, he just heads over, probably. Yeah,
the hallmark is aggression in both goals, isn't it? Like, he got onto it aggressively, Tyler Roberts, and you often think if he lacks something from his game, Bamford, it's not physical aggression, but aggression in attacking spaces.
And Roberts did all the running as well. It wasn't like when Nketiah was playing and you thought we lost a bit of the huff and puff that you get from Bamford closing people down. Like the third goal, Roberts was involved in it somewhere on the halfway line, wasn't it? But then he still is the player bombing forward into the box, and having someone who can do the linking bit and the actual scoring bit is beneficial.
And to turn it into more of a positive than a kind of a trash Bamford opportunity, Roberts was here first, and Roberts, we've been waiting for him. And he's still a young player, hoping and waiting for him to just keep fit long enough for him to come as good as it's kind of, whenever he's played, there's always been a couple of goals and there's been good performances and he's looked like...
There's a lot of promise, isn't there? Rather than necessarily complete end product, but you get a lot of promise from him.
And he looks like the $4.5 million that we paid, you keep thinking, that's going to be money well spent at some point. If he can just...
Was it that much?
Yeah, I think so. But in the grand scheme, I mean, we paid $7 million for Bamford. And then how much is Augustine going to cost us? $20 million, all this. Mm. So absolute And he was a little bit like a Daniel James that came off, where he was in demand, and we went and got him from a club who were kind of didn't really want to let him go, but we did it because we knew he was going to be good in the future. And it's just this problem of the glass legs has really held him back, and it's good if he can just get through the rest of the season without any of that, have a proper pre-season, and then in the Premier League he's going to be brilliant.
And he was brilliant today, and on that fourth goal, yeah, magnificent header. When you saw that flying over and you thought, go on, didn't you, just as he planted his head on that and sent it back the other way. And Noel Whelan was talking in the post-match on Radio Leeds about how difficult that is to do as a striker. Do you
think he's ever done it?
No, but he'll be aware of it.
He saw Alan Bockshit do it a few times.
No, I'll be fair to the man. Curling it away from goal, because the cross came over, didn't it, curling away from goal, and then he's having to go back across and redirect it the direction it came from. So a really good technique.
Is it a bit mean of the Leeds fans to do a Tyler Roberts? Do you think Pat was on the bench thinking, that's my song? He's taken my goals, taken my song.
He's still got his country mansion.
True enough.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
To return to a topic we just touched on before, how bad were Hull today, though?
Yeah, they're really bad. It's funny. It's almost like selling your two best players is a bad idea.
And they've got loads of injuries, so... I mean, they've got to be worried. I don't look at that end of the league table.
17th they were
too
at,
much
at full time.
But given Wigan and Barnsley and Luton have turned half decent, and the league table presumably is laying as far as Middlesbrough are concerned.
As it stands at the minute, they've dropped to 19th because of the games that are in play. So
I mean, 4 points off the drop. That's not looking good for them, given they have no goals in the team.
There's still the Wednesday and Derby factors to play into all this, but I almost hope that, you know, that all gets sorted out and it's Hull that go down. Because there would be something, particularly with their... I mean, the one sympathy I have for Hull fans, it's just they don't deserve it, is the whole thing with their owners being absolute maniacs, trying to change the name of the Tigers and all the stuff, and everything that they've done there. And for selling Bowen and Rusicki in January to bite them back that hard would be hilarious.
It was a dick move on the part of the owners to just go, probably safe, aren't we?
Nope.
Yeah, it'd be fine. We'll just sell them, get the money in. We won't go down.
Mm, yeah, you will. And if you're Grant McCann, I mean, all he's been able to do is say, oh, Malik Wilkes was quite good for me at Doncaster. Can I have him, please?
I thought Wilkes did have a slight look of determination to do something against his former club, certainly at the start of the game.
He did for Barnsley earlier in the season, though, didn't he?
Yeah. But then as the game wore on, he kind of realised he was a bit too shit to actually do anything. Seemed to be the realisation he came to, because nothing really came off. He was appealing for a few free kicks that he didn't get, and he was sulking about. He did a great, I can't believe you've given that ref face at him when he fouled someone, and he seemed to just sort of lose interest by the end of it. It was like, not today.
Do you remember the online fury when we let him go? When we let Harmay go as well? And it was like, why are we letting these exciting young prospects leave this club? And they've gone to, well, they all went to Barnsley. And then Barnsley have had to already move Wilkes onto Hull, which I guess is more McCann just begging for anything he can get than anything else. I'm going to suggest that we haven't missed them.
Yeah, not at the minute.
No, I think that probably as it's turned out, Ben White is a better player than Apple Halme. Much as I loved Halme, but...
He lacks the sort of physical comedy of Halme. Just seeing his amused large child face.
I sort of feel glad about that at this stage of the season. What I'm looking out for now is not necessarily physical comedy from our defenders. I'm quite happy to have some very competent looking people winning promotion. I'm really, really comfortable with that
on that, let's talk about that. That's the goal now. I mean, given where we are, we basically need 6 wins out of 10 games. Can we? Will we do it, Michael? I know you're kind of grinning because you're scared.
I'm picking up my phone to check the other scores is what I'm doing.
Well, I'm keeping an eye on them at the minute. Fulham haven't scored as it stands yet. I mean, it's 3:30 now, so we're half an hour into that.
Sheffield Wednesday 3-0 down at home to Derby. That's quite funny.
Oh, that's funny.
But anyway, it's kind of getting near to it, isn't it?
I mean,
it really is. Yeah,
we're winning the next game because it's Huddersfield at home.
Oh,
so
don't do
that's
this.
Already that sorted. And then Cardiff away. I mean, we never do well down there. And the thing about Cardiff away is we've had that's the turning points because it ruined Matt Click's career. It ruined everything about us in the Premier League under David O'Leary went wrong at Cardiff. So things at Cardiff.
Thomas Christiansen gets sacked after Cardiff game.
Yeah, at home. Yes. And that was, yeah, Warnock buried him. So that's tricky. And then Fulham at home. Also, obviously, difficult for obvious reasons because they're supposed to be a good team. But then after that, we'll beat Luton. We can beat Blackburn. We always beat Stoke, don't we?
the blasé attitude as you go.
Swansea away won't be a problem. Barnsley, as discussed, Halme in defence, that's fine.
Are you saying 10 wins out of 10?
And then we won't. Well, no, because, 9? You know, those seeds of doubt about Cardiff and Fulham and Blackburn, what's his face, the manager over there, the Middlesbrough legend, what's he called?
Mowbray.
He's a tough cookie, and I think he's got that element of, he's one of those people who can actually quietly test himself against Bielsa. This isn't going to be all Gary Monk about it. So, well, yeah, I seem to the group really listen to my ideas. It'll be like, oh no, Bielsa's great. I'm going to give this a go. So risk there. But then after that, yeah, we'll be promoted by the time we play. I think at home to Barnsley, we'll be up.
What about you, Michael? What's your take on this?
I am slowly becoming a bit more optimistic. If we can... We won't, will we? If we can start playing Tyler Roberts as a striker, I think that might be a nice idea as well.
I was going to say, imagine this for the rest of the season, that we have Tyler Roberts starting up front and then coming off after 20 minutes for... Not after 20 minutes. Coming off with 20 minutes left for Jean-Kevin Augustin to come on and Bamford can just watch and then get his medal at the end, which he will have richly deserved with his goals and his teamwork up to now. But suddenly... There's a little option there, isn't there?
It will be the same team on Saturday, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. Bamford starting all day.
It will. It absolutely will. A word about some of the other great performances today, because there were a lot in that second half. I thought Stu Dallas looked absolutely great today.
He always is.
He's become quite a player, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah, he does everything fine. Even when he's completely out of position in central midfield, he does it okay. And anything out wide, he's class.
So. Yeah, he feels like, I can't remember if I included him in the thing I was talking about on the Phil cast about the senior players stepping up, but he's one of those who's just kind of like, no, I'll take some responsibility for what's going on. And then Helder Costa, I thought, was very good today. A player who...
In the second half. Yeah. First half, he was dreadful, I thought.
Yeah.
He seems to sort of play within himself a lot and then suddenly he'll spring to life. But then there's moments where he does something with his feet or he'll take a first touch where it just completely eliminates two players and you go, bloody hell, that's good.
Yeah. And you don't always get that for 90 minutes out of a winger. But so 45 minutes will do. Even, you know, if just every 10 minutes he nutmegs somebody, I'm pretty happy with that.
The goal he almost scored would have been really nice as well. It had a great build-up to it when he jinked and he shot with his left foot.
Forgot about this.
That was nearly a really, really good goal as well, but not quite to be. There were several. We're reflecting on a game in which half of it we were quite shit and we could have won about 6-0 today.
Yeah, he does that quite well. He whacks the ball from one foot to the other and then goes around somebody. and they never seem to know what to do with it. Unfortunately, he doesn't always know what to do with it once he's round them, whether it's a cross. But then there is the question, because, again, this is coming back to the Bamford-Roberts thing, but we often talk about the way that the final ball is not good enough. Click's layoff for Tyler Roberts' first goal wasn't the best. I was cursing him when he laid it off for not controlling the ball and shooting.
Yeah. Mm.
And then also, when you watch the replay, it is a bit of a bobbler because it's quite hard to control the way that ball came in and lay off. But Roberts made that into a really good assist, buried it. And then, and it's the same thing with not thinking Bamford would have scored that. I mean, it wasn't even a cross. It was like a chip from midfield by Click for the fourth one. We think Bamford's not really going to do that. You start to wonder what Roberts could do with some of these balls that Harrison and Costa put across, where you end up throwing your hands in the air and going, fucking hell, Costa, you're rubbish. Why can't you put a ball on somebody's head? It's like, well, there's somebody there that's a bit more lively, confident, determined.
Maybe Bamford just needs a rest. So he can sit on from the sides and just get his confidence back and think, right, I'm ready to go back into the fray now. And it removes all that kind of...
And he comes back in with something to prove as well, as opposed to starting with something to prove, which I think is probably quite difficult because you're starting with a load of pressure, aren't you?
That's what I mean. It removes that subliminal pressure is what I was going to say then. Yeah, exactly that.
And Roberts has kind of brought the pressure, the good pressure on him that Big Kev is supposed to provide, because the goals we've had in recent games, it's like Bamford's not going to start the next game going, well, Luke Ayling scored, so he might be having my place up front. Whereas now there is a legitimate question there of like, look, Bamford, if you don't book your ideas up and start putting the ball in the net, here's somebody who just might.
Bless him, I do like him though, and I hope he's
all right.
No, he's fine, isn't he? And if and when we do go up, I'll enjoy seeing him celebrate just like the rest. Because I think people think there's an agenda against him. It's not. It's just because he's massively out of form.
It's just frustration at seeing him miss chances, isn't it? It'd be the same if it was, you know, if we still had Lee Chapman here and he was still missing and he was missing chances, we would be pissed off at him instead.
The abuse he used to get sometimes was probably, and that's before it was even a platform to do it on. But and it was a little bit like what I said before, of just a real affection for Tyler Roberts and thinking that there's a good young player there who could play for, I mean, you're talking about just different ages as well. We could get 10 years out of Tyler Roberts, 15 years if he, I mean, he's not going to play for 15 years. His legs have all dropped off long before then. But just it's rather than anything particularly critical of Bamford, it's nice to see that Tyler Roberts has got a couple of goals, looked like a good player again, and could be key for the next however many games he's got left. Is it 10?
Yeah, well, we'll move on to heroes and villains now, then, and let's talk quickly about Stroud, one of our favourite referees. One or two moments that were questionable.
Just, even when he's right, he just has a face that looks like he's wrong, doesn't it?
Well, I was going to say...
You just want to argue with him.
Are you aware that since he made a proper pig's ear of that Brentford game towards the back end of last season, he's refereed us, is it four times, I think, now, and we've not conceded a goal and we've won every time?
Lucky up, but he just looks like he's going to give something, doesn't he?
His profile as well, he's got a very Mr. Punch sort of profile. His nose and his chin both sort of follow the parallel lines somehow. I'm not sure. I'm not quite put my finger on why it upsets me. But from the side, his face is all wrong.
He could be telling you that, like, you've won £1 million in what were the old Monopoly cards in a, you know, a Mr. Universe composition or something. He'd still be looking at him going, oh, just fuck off. Just go, what are you talking, what are you saying? Just go away, wanker.
But he's, you know, at least he's leaving the pigs alone these days.
On to heroes and villains then, as we were sort of skirting into it there. Who have you got?
I've got Bielsa as a villain for going over and lying to... I can't tell what he was saying, but he was clearly lying to McCann at the end, wasn't he? He always does his chat. Oh, no, you'll be fine. I saw some real good signs there. The way you've absolutely collapsed in that second half, that's not going to be a problem at all. And McCann looked, for his part, McCann looked like a man who knew he was relegated. He had a look of, apart from the hair, he had like a look of Phil Mitchell on crack. You know when he had that phase in EastEnders when he looked all even pinker than normal and glummer. He just had oh God.
Weight of the world on his shoulders.
Yes, so having Bielsa lie to him, I think he knew he was lying.
Did my eyes deceive me, or was Bielsa sitting in the dugout at the end of that game? When they put the number up for injury time or whatever, I'm sure he was just sitting in the dugout like a normal manager.
Maybe 4-0 is the point.
They'll finally relax. So, he didn't have his glasses on today, did he? Did he have contact lenses, do we think? Has he moved to that?
Oh, I didn't notice, actually.
Yeah. Oh, he looks very debonair there, looking...
Maybe he's out afterwards.
getting those eyes on display.
Yeah, that's the one concession he makes if he's going out on the town. He still wears the Kappa tracksuit, but he puts his contacts in.
So the glasses. Love it. Heroes and villains, who else?
Villains, let's do the FA. Let's do this because announcing the ban on Friday night at 7:30 without the reasons for the ban has unleashed such a sack of shit on the world. It's unbelievable and frustrating. And in the context of putting aside any club rivalries, if you want to stop racism in football and wider society, have a little bit of responsibility and don't unleash a weekend on social media of people with no information, because we don't know what has been said even at this point. Kassir has been banned for something, and without, until the report, which in the Suarez and Terry case was a 100-page report, so there's a lot of detail and we don't even know what's on page one. And yet, all that is happening this weekend on social media is people are arguing about repercussions of something which they don't know the starting point of. You've got thousands of people calling Kiko Kassir a racist, and we don't know if he is. And we've got thousands of people calling Jonathan Lico a lying scumbag, and we don't know if he is. And we've got nobody in any of it who knows what happened. So
we don't know anything more than we did on the day it happened, other than he has been found guilty. That's the only thing we know that's different.
Yeah, and expecting people to kind of go through it, and we should. I mean, that would be my advice to everybody, is just let's wait for the report and see what that says, and then we'll know what we're talking about. That's not going to happen, and the FA need to know that. This is the point. They're managing this situation. This isn't Kassir, this isn't Lico, this isn't Leeds, it's not Charlton, it's not West Brom. This is the FA's decision, and thinking, oh yeah, you know, it'll be fine. Just tell them what we've done, but don't tell them why, and we'll tell them that on Monday. And the problem is, in the age we're in, and everybody fucking knows this, if you don't go out there with the facts first, then that will just be replaced by nonsense. So whatever does come out in the report on Monday, the arguments have already been had, the battle lines have been drawn, and it's completely unhelpful. To, you had all the players today wearing kick it out t-shirts, while the FA has managed to put in a chain of events this weekend that does not help the aim of what is written on those t-shirts whatsoever. All it does is make people argue, and it's a complete fuck over. And I don't, you know, it could be, this is completely unrelated to whether Kassir deserves a ban, whether that's not the right thing.
You're talking about the process.
It's absolutely 100% that releasing the decision, the news of the ban, without the facts, without even just a summary, just a one page to say, here it is, and the full report will follow on Monday. If they had to get it out, that's, but at least something where at least we didn't just have this weekend of everybody arguing about something that we don't know.
And 7:30 on a Friday does have a real vibe of like one of those crap emails you want to send because you don't want the person to ring you back.
It's where bad,
so like, well, somebody, I'm just going to push this out now, and then I'm going to fuck off out the office and I'll deal with it on Monday.
One journalist has tweeted us to say that Friday evenings is where bad news goes to die.
Yeah.
So that's why you think about the timing. And obviously it's impacting on this game, and the FA must have thought, right, well, we've concluded the process. Okay, it's Friday afternoon. We need to let him know straight away that he's banned straight away, because that's how the process works. Shit, right, we'll put it out Friday evening, but we haven't had time to get all the report written. It's stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, just wait until Monday. There would have been no harm done if Kiko Kassir played that game, if they had to wait until Monday to get all the details out. There's so many other different ways, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more when we do the proper podcast, but I felt it just that in this little window, when it's such a hot topic, just reminding everybody, there's, when you go on Twitter and it shows you Kiko Kassir banned, and it's like, what do you think? Write what you think into this box. It's okay, don't write anything, because you don't know what he said. I don't know what he said. I don't know what's happened. I don't know what the facts are. You don't know either. Nobody does. It's not been revealed. It's not been made. Whatever you've heard about, you know, oh, it's a Spanish word for this, and oh, it's different over there. It's like, it's a cultural thing.
Bullshit,
nobody has a fucking clue. So when it said that box, and on Facebook, what are you thinking? What's your opinion on this? Just don't write anything. It's okay. Just leave that box empty.
As you were saying before, their nature hates a vacuum.
Yeah, and the FA should know that.
Yeah. Particularly as they've got communication specialists who will be communicating this out.
Who are specialists at being shit.
Yes. So we will wait, I guess, the detail on that before we can form informed opinions on the matter.
I mean, it's still us talking, so as informed as we ever get. But that would be
the same information that's available to everybody, whether you choose to digest it and form an informed opinion or not. I mean, what the reaction, some of the hideous shit that we've seen on Twitter over the last 12 hours or so, a lot of people have already made their mind up about it, which is a shame. Until we see the evidence, but we'll roll that one forward to Tuesday when we reconvene and do the main podcast, and hopefully we've got the reasons by then. A wrap up on today, though, and we don't want to let that overshadow what was a great football match.
Heroes, Tyler Roberts.
Just play Tyler. Just play him.
Does
please.
The campaign start now?
JPT. Just play Tyler.
Yes, okay.
I thought you were talking about the trophy.
No.
We're not in it. We can't play him in the Johnston's paint. Although, isn't the final soon?
Just chip him in.
Just say, is it all right? All right, other heroes. I mean, this is a very temporary, immediate moment, but Cardiff have just this instant equalised against Brentford.
Oh, too soon.
So they've come back from 2-0 down to make it 2-2. So, Cardiff, I was just saying before that that's where our hopes and dreams go to die, is in Ninian Park, but apparently they still play there, don't they?
Ninian Park.
That helps.
At the very moment we speak, we're just coming around to half-time in the 3 o'clock kickoffs. It's 3:45 at the moment, so we're just into injury time. West Brom 0, Wigan 0. And we know, obviously, Wigan go there and win 1-0, because that's what Wigan do.
About right? You mean West Brom?
No, Wigan go to West Brom and win 1-0.
Okay, that would be great, because I quite fancy winning the league now.
Are you sure Cardiff have equalised? They haven't on my phone.
They have on my phone.
Okay. They have. Sorry, I've not refreshed it.
You have a shit phone, I think, is what we've concluded from that. So let's just hope that we are within 1 point of the top, because that would make things very, very spicy, wouldn't it, indeed, if we were within 1 point of top position in the division.
If Fulham and Preston, if that could stay as a draw, that's fine too. Let's just. I'm happy with these results as they are. Let's end it now. Let's end the podcast now, and then all these results stay as they are. I think that's how it works.
Yeah, if you do want to catch up with Phil Hay, by the way, and you haven't yet listened to our Phil Hay show with The Athletic, that's normally released at 5 a.m. UK time on a Friday morning.
And if you don't get up and listen to it then, you don't get to hear it. It's deleted at 5 past 5 a.m. You have a very narrow window in which to hear that programme.
You can get 50% off a subscription if you go to theathletic.co.uk/thesquareball if you want to check out Phil's stuff. And your 10% with Levi Solicitors is always in play as well. If you need legal services, levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. We will get together again on Tuesday and pour over what information we have then. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
More replays of Tyler Roberts' header. That's the information I'm looking forward to the most.
We'll speak to you in a bit. Ta-ra.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.